Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Slice of Paradise by Nancy Lavo. Narrated by Lisa Larson. Chapter 1. Mary Jo Pierrmont awakened at precisely 3 o'clock a.m. for the fourth night in a row.
She's coming.
She scooted herself upright and spoke into the darkened room as she had the previous nights.
Yes, Lord, but you haven't told me when to expect her. When is she coming?
Soon.
How will I recognize her? How will I know she's the one?
I'll make it clear. You'll have no doubt.
I'm looking forward to meeting her.
She's a feisty one, and so lost.
Then I'll tell her about you.
I'm counting on it, Mary Jo.
Eden Lambert needed a sign. After 2 full days on the road, she was heartily sick and tired of driving. But she'd committed to press on until she found the exact right place to stop. She'd pulled off the freeway a couple of times over the last 48 hours when the name of a town or a glimpse of an area intrigued her, only to re-enter the highway minutes later when a pass through the town didn't resonate with her. She didn't know what she was looking for, but she was confident she'd know it when she saw it. Honestly, wherever it was, she hoped she'd find it soon. Driving since 6 this morning, with only a couple of potty stops and a quick lunch to break up the monotony, she was hungry and tired and didn't know how much more her backside could take. A glance in the rearview mirror confirmed Jake had finally fallen asleep in his car seat. He looked like an angel, his lashes fanned out over round pink cheeks and his hair a halo of golden curls. Bless his heart. He'd been such a trooper through all of this, never once complaining. He simply trusted her to care for him. Love swelled within her. She loved her son with every ounce of her being, and she wouldn't fail him. For his sake, she would keep going. No matter how long it took, she'd find a good place for them to settle and start their new lives. A sign up ahead indicated they were coming to a town. If it looked okay, she'd find a quiet spot to pull over and grab a quick nap while Jake slept. Some 30 feet from the sign, the words came into focus. Welcome to Village Green, the place where you belong. Her breath caught. She blinked to be sure she read it right. Could it be? She eased off the highway at the flashing yellow light and proceeded slowly down Main Street. A smile stretched across her face. Village Green resembled a tarnished Mayberry from the old black and white reruns, a magical place where time moved slowly and relationships mattered. The two-story red brick buildings lining the street looked a bit tired, and many of the stores sat empty and boarded up. But some optimistic soul had set out huge planters at regular intervals along the sidewalk and heaped them with cheerful pink and purple flowers, as though they were acknowledging they'd been through some tough times, but looked for better days ahead. The parallel to her own life was unmistakable. On the shop side of the street, pretty benches invited passers-by to slow down and relax. Across from them was a 2-block-long park, ringed with a sturdy iron fence and planted with huge beds of colorful flowers and towering trees. Wouldn't Jake love running through the thick grass? Eden felt a stirring of hope. Maybe this was the place where they belonged. While she drove, she kept an eye out for a place to stop. The on-street parking in front of the shops wouldn't do. Too visible. A woman and child sleeping in the car in plain sight would attract unwanted attention. She took a right on the first road just past the park into a deeply shaded residential area. Huge old homes lined the narrow street. The second house on the left caught her attention. Set up on a rise, the majestic two-story seemed to beckon to her. She followed it with her eyes as far as she could crane her neck, then made a U-turn at the intersection and came back to park in front of it. A shaft of sunlight speared through the leafy canopy to illuminate the house like a spotlight. Golden rays glinted off the paned window in the door, sparkling like jewels. Eden rubbed her eyes. Blinking into the bright light exacerbated the gritty feeling of her heavy lids. Maybe they'd just rest here a minute. She lowered the windows a couple of inches for ventilation before shutting down the engine, checked Jake one more time, leaned back against the headrest, and closed her eyes. An annoying staccato repeated at the edge of her consciousness. Tap, tap, tap. There it was again. Eden reluctantly forced her eyes open to find a twinkling-eyed old woman standing on the passenger side of the car and peering in the window. Oh! Eden sat up with a guilty start. A peek at the dashboard clock said she'd been sleeping for almost half an hour. She glanced back at Jake. He was wide awake and grinning through the window at the smiling woman. Eden turned the ignition key and lowered the window a bit more before leaning toward the woman and pitching her voice so she could be heard through the opening. I'm so sorry. Is this your home? I must have fallen asleep for a moment. I'm truly sorry to have bothered you. We'll go. She reached for the gear shifter on the console. The woman waved her hands and shook her head vigorously.
No, no, please don't leave. You're not bothering me. I've been waiting for you.
Eden blinked. Huh? She must have misheard her. I'm really embarrassed. I pulled up to admire your home and must have dozed off. Your house is amazing.
Thank you.
The woman looked over her shoulder at the house and back at Eden.
If you have a minute, why don't you two come in? I'd be happy to give you a tour.
Oh, no, Eden said. I wouldn't want to impose. The woman dismissed her suggestion with a flick of her hand.
It's not an imposition. The house is part of the annual tour of homes. I bring people through all the time.
They had those tours back in Tallahassee, too. People bought tickets to tromp through rich people's houses. Eden had thought it would be cool to do someday. Still, she frowned. A product of the stranger danger generation, she'd been raised to keep her distance from people she didn't know.
I understand if you don't want to come in since you don't know me.
The light in her bright blue eyes seemed to dim as her voice trailed off. Eden was wary, but not heartless. The woman was clearly lonely. And honestly, she couldn't be less threatening. She was short and comfortably rounded. And with her tastefully tinted blonde bob and expensive-looking dress, she was the picture of grandmotherly elegance, like an upscale Aunt Bee. Besides, this was a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see inside such an incredible home without buying a ticket. She met Jake's eyes in the rearview mirror.
We'd love a tour, wouldn't we?
He bobbed his head.
Wuv. Wuv.
She unbuckled her seatbelt, picked up her handbag, and climbed out of the car. After indulging in a quick stretch to work out the all-day-in-the-car kinks, she rounded the bumper to introduce herself to the older woman. She extended her hand.
I'm Eden Lambert.
I'm so glad to meet you. I'm Mary Jo Piermont.
She held Eden's hand an extra moment while she studied her face with a friendly but penetrating gaze. At last, she gave Eden's hand a squeeze and released it.
My goodness, What a lovely young lady you are.
Thank you.
Eden stepped across the curb and opened the back door of the sedan. She leaned in to undo the buckles and straps securing her son and lifted him into her arms.
Jake, this nice lady is Mrs. Piermont.
Waity.
Mrs. Piermont clasped her hands over her heart. I wasn't expecting a baby. What a surprise. You're telling me. We're talking total surprise.
Eden nodded. My boyfriend and I weren't together anymore when I found out I was pregnant.
Oh.
Mrs. Piermont's forehead wrinkled and her mouth turned down. I'm so sorry.
Stiffening, Eden lifted her chin. I'm not.
Forgive me, dear. I wasn't saying I'm sorry you have a child.
Mary Jo smiled.
I'm only sorry because it must be very difficult to raise one alone.
Down, girl.
The ever-ready fight drained from Eden's body as quickly as it appeared. The woman wasn't judging her, just empathizing.
Eden exhaled. Yeah, it's been rough, but totally worth it.
She squeezed her son.
Jake and I are a family.
Jake grunted and struggled to be released. Eden lowered him to his feet and took his hand so he wouldn't run into the street.
You are a precious little family.
Mrs. Piermont beamed at both of them.
I'm just so glad you're here. Let's go inside, shall we?
She turned and started up the brick walkway toward the house.
We can have something cool to drink before we begin the tour.
Eden picked up her son and followed her hostess, promising herself they wouldn't drink anything. She may be willing to enter the house of a stranger, but she drew the line at accepting a beverage. The red brick walkway bisected a perfectly manicured lawn and ended in a wide staircase of the same aged brick. They climbed the stairs to a deep wraparound porch, furnished with white rocking chairs and lush potted ferns. She paused on the top step to take it all in.
It's like something in a magazine.
That's so sweet of you to say. Mrs. Piermont opened the door and stepped aside for them to enter.
There's a powder room here to the left.
She pointed in that direction.
I'll fix us a glass of tea while you two freshen up, and you can meet me in the kitchen.
She gestured toward the back of the house.
What does young Master Jake drink?
Eden ruffled his curls.
He's an apple juice man. I have his sippy cup here in my purse. It's still half full from lunch. He can drink that.
The interior of the old house surprised Eden. Because of its age, she'd expected it to look stuffy and smell stale. Instead, tall windows framed by flowing drapes filled it with sunlight, and overhead fans whirled lazily to stir the fresh air. After they made use of the pretty little bathroom, she carried Jake over gleaming hardwood floors through an elegant living area decorated in the softest shades of blue and green toward the back of the house. Eden paused just inside the kitchen. The room was huge, easily half as big as her entire apartment had been, and sunny and bright with gleaming white cabinets and black granite countertops.
There you are.
Mrs. Piermont carried two tall beverages over to the round glass table situated in front of a bay window overlooking the backyard.
Come sit down. I made peach tea today. Do you use any sweetener?
No, thank you.
Eden sat and settled Jake in her lap before accepting the glass and placing it in front of her. She pulled his cup from her bag and handed it to him.
Your house is amazing.
The older woman took the seat across from her and smiled.
Thank you. I love decorating. I just recently redid the living room, and before that, the kitchen.
She leaned forward to confide.
When my husband was alive, he used to say he was afraid to leave for work in the morning for fear he wouldn't recognize the place when he got home that night.
Eden nodded. The dead husband sounded like the kind of man her mother brought home. Well, except for the part about him leaving for work. Men don't appreciate women.
Mrs. Pierrement chuckled at her tone. Some don't, I'm sure. But the right men do. My Matthew cherished me until the day he died.
You were one of the lucky ones then.
I've been blessed, that's for sure.
Eden watched Mrs. Pierrement taste her tea. It looked so good, and she was suddenly thirsty. Surely Aunt Bee wouldn't poison a guest. She took a deep breath, lifted her glass, and took a tentative sip. The tea tasted fine, cold, and refreshing. She drank again, deeply this time, ashamed of herself for having been suspicious of the hospitality of a sweet, lonely old lady.
Have you lived here long?
Going on 60 years.
Mrs. Pierrement wagged her head.
Mercy, how time flies. Seems like only yesterday Matthew and I moved in as newlyweds.
Eden let her gaze sweep the oversized kitchen.
This must have been a lot of house for a young couple.
It was. We inherited it from Matthew's aunt. I had hoped to fill it with children, but it seemed the Lord had other plans.
She turned a doting smile on Jake.
Your son is just delightful. I wonder, is there anything dearer than a toddler's chubby hands?
They are pretty sweet, Eden said, gathering his fingers in hers. Except right after he's eaten. He hasn't mastered the whole spoon and fork thing yet, and mealtime gets a bit messy.
Mrs. Pierrement's bright blue eyes widened. Goodness, it's almost dinner time, isn't it? Since you're here, I hope you'll join me.
Eden shook her head. That's nice of you to invite us, but after the tour, we need to get back on the road.
You have to eat, she reasoned, and since it's Sunday night, everything in Village Green will be closed up tight.
Oh. Eden frowned. Major downside to Mayberry living.
Well, we'll find something. We wouldn't want to inconvenience you.
It wouldn't be any trouble. It's such a treat to have company at dinner.
She gave Eden a gentle smile.
I won't press you for an answer now. Give it some thought. And if you decide you want to stay, please know you are very welcome here.
You are very welcome here. Were there any sweeter words in the English language?
Thank you.
Can I get you a refill on your tea?
Eden shook her head. No, thanks. I'm good.
Then let's begin our tour. Since you've seen most of the first floor, we can start upstairs.
Mrs. Pierrement led the way out of the kitchen and up a flight of stairs to the second story. She stopped at the room at the far end of the hall and motioned for Eden to enter ahead of her.
This suite is my favorite. The bedroom has the best view of the garden and is connected to a smaller bedroom through the bath.
Eden picked up Jake and stepped inside. The tall ceilings and an entire wall of windows filled the large room with light.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Most of the furnishings are antiques. The canopy bed and chest of drawers are mahogany and belonged to Matthew's aunt.
Mary Jo pointed while she spoke.
The desk and chair in the corner, also mahogany, were my grandmother's.
Eden carried Jake farther into the room to get a better look. The delicately carved four-poster bed was positioned against the wall facing the windows so the occupant could enjoy the view. A mound of plump pillows and a thick comforter in purest white lay beneath a gauzy canopy of white lace. A pale pink throw folded at the foot of the bed, the rug, and two slipper chairs upholstered in the same rosy shade provided the only hint of color in the room. She sighed.
I can see why it's your favorite. It looks like a room for a princess.
Her hostess smiled. After Eden had looked her fill, they stepped back into the hall and walked to the next door. Mrs. Pyrmont pointed inside.
This is the smallest bedroom. Because of its location, it doesn't get a lot of natural light. When my nephew visits, I like to put him in here.
Her hostess giggled with her guilty admission.
I'm guessing from your expression that he's not a favorite?
Eden peeked inside. The room was decorated in comfortable blues and had a more masculine feel. Definitely not as large or as lavish as the one they'd just seen. Of course, both rooms were beyond anything she'd ever lived in.
No, he's not. He lives far enough away that he doesn't come very often. But when he does, I'm careful not to make him too comfortable.
Mrs. Pyrmont chuckled.
He might not want to leave.
This nephew guy was definitely like her mother's men. Freeloader, huh? Her hostess cocked her head and pursed her lips.
Part freeloader, part vulture. Todd is my only living relative. My husband's sister's son. And he's counting the days until I die and he can get his hands on this.
She lifted her palms to indicate the house. Eden grimaced.
What a creep. I can see why he's not a favorite. I don't even know him, and I don't like him.
Mrs. Pyrmont chuckled, eyes twinkling.
I like your plain speaking. I can tell you and I will be good friends.
Two more bedrooms, each with their own bath, completed the tour of the upper story. Jake had taken the first part of the tour with calm acceptance. But by the time they'd seen the primary suite, he'd had enough. Mrs. Pyrmont noticed him squirming in his mother's arms.
I don't think Jake is much interested in old houses. Why don't we take him outside where he can run?
They retraced their steps down the stairs to the back of the house. Eden knew from looking out the windows that the backyard was planted in formal beds of multicolored flowers. Even so, she wasn't prepared for the breathtaking view when she stepped out through the French doors onto the sprawling flagstone terrace. Blooms of every color circled the patio area. Beyond the terrace, the gently sloped yard of perfectly trimmed grass featured several smaller beds of flowers and shrubs artfully punctuated with a statue, birdbath, or bench. Her jaw dropped.
Did you do all of this?
The older woman nodded.
Matthew and I laid out the beds and did the original plantings. These days I putter around out here, but I have a service to maintain it.
It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
Eden's gaze swept the lush property.
It's like Disney World without the crowds.
Mrs. Pyrmont beamed.
Thank you.
She walked to the filigreed iron table and chairs.
We can sit here and let Jake run.
I think I better stay with him.
Eden placed him on the ground, and seconds later, sprinted to his side and grabbed his hand before he could behead a fistful of red blooms.
Don't worry, Mrs. Pyrmont called. He can't hurt anything,
says the woman who's never had children. Eden and Jake wandered the yard, investigating each of the smaller beds. They tried out benches, sniffed blooms, and admired butterflies. Though the late afternoon had grown warm, the trees edging the property provided comfortable shade. After a half hour or so, Eden scooped him up and carried him back to the terrace.
"I think my friend here needs a diaper change, so this is probably a good time to end our tour. Your home and yard are wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing them with us."
Mrs. Pierrmont stood.
"You are very welcome. But do you really have to leave so soon? We'll have dinner in an hour or so, and I'd love for you to stay. It won't be fancy, but it'll be better than anything you can find on the road. Plus, you won't have to put Jake back into his car seat for a while longer."
She smiled at him. "I can tell he's enjoying his freedom." Eden looked at her son, his face pink from his romp in the grass, his curls damp with perspiration. He'd been cooped up in the car for hours already, and who knew how long it would be before they found a decent place to eat or spend the night. The invitation was tempting.
"Are you sure we won't be in the way?"
Mrs. Pierrmont nodded.
"Absolutely."
Eden smiled.
"Then we'd be happy to stay for dinner. If it's okay with you, I'll just run out to the car and get his diaper bag."
"Perfect. While you're outside, I'll head upstairs and spread a towel on the smaller bed in the back suite. You can use that as his changing table."
Jake on her hip, Eden collected the bag from the back seat and re-entered the house. Her hostess met her at the foot of the stairs.
"Do you have everything you need?" "We're good, thanks. We'll be down in a minute."
Joe shifted the grocery bags to one hand so he could let himself into the house. Mary Jo met him at the door, and he bent to kiss her cheek.
"Hey, did you know there's a strange car with Florida tags parked in front of your house? I don't know how long it's been there, but I called Sam and asked him to run the plates."
He pushed the front door closed behind him.
"Oh, dear."
Mary Jo wrung her hands.
"Call him back, Joe, and tell him not to bother. The car belongs to my, friend."
He skewered her with a look. "I didn't know you had friends in Florida."
"Oh, sure."
Her all-too-angelic expression and the fact she wouldn't meet his eyes said she was 100% guilty of something. What is she up to now? He looked past her to see a long-legged beauty with a child on her hip appear at the top of the stairs.
"Here they are now."
Mary Jo shot him a pleading look before scurrying over to wait for them.
"Joe, dear, I want you to meet my friends, Eden and Jake."
He watched with a mixture of appreciation and suspicion as the visitors descended. Appreciation because, as an acknowledged connoisseur of women, he could not deny the fact the tall, golden-tanned blonde was breathtaking. Literally. He felt like he'd been punched in the gut and couldn't fill his lungs. Suspicion, because, as Mary Jo's self-proclaimed protector, he knew without a doubt the stranger was one of Mary Jo's strays.
"Eden, this gentleman is Joe Wolfe."
Mary Jo placed extra emphasis on the word, probably to recall him to his manners.
"Though I don't have any children of my own, Joe is the son of my heart."
The beauty, in worn blue jeans and a gray Florida State t-shirt, stopped at the foot of the stairs and offered him a faint smile and cool nod.
"Hello."
He returned the nod, crossed his arms over his chest, and waited. Clearly uncomfortable, Mary Jo's hands fluttered
while she searched for something to say to break the awkward silence he'd initiated.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?